Radio.com. Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. Tobeaccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRiosSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, it is Becky Ryan, and you are here live with Women on the Edge. And I am here with my awesome co-host, Maria DiGiovanni. And are you there, Maria?
I am. How are you?
I've been very busy, and I'm very happy we have finally come up with basically our mantra, and I'm very happy with it. We might still be ironing it out, but we are a force to promote action. We, Maria and Becky and all of you listeners, are bringing it to the edge, and we are challenging the people out there to find the answers, get us the answers, and find out why. And if we push it over the edge, somebody better catch it. Isn't that where we're kind of going with it?
Well, actually, here's the problem. You really don't want us to push it over the edge. We're bringing it right to them, okay? Because if we
bring
push
it right
it
to the edge.
Edge, okay? If we push it over the edge, that means things are really going to start to be earthquakey. That's when I think things are really going to start. So we're really trying to get the answers to the why. Why is unemployment so high? Let's figure that out, because when we start pushing people over the edge, and that's what I think we're getting to, okay? We are just women on the edge. We're bringing them right to the edge, because when things start going over the edge, that's when, you know, depression happens and the, you know, the world starts to, you know, go bad, okay? So
I like that. We're holding each other back, and when we came up with Women on the Edge, it was to be on the edge.
We're right. Women on the Edge, okay? Why are things happening the way they are, okay? Remember when the postal people started going postal?
They went and it became a word.
They went over the edge, okay? We're women on the edge. We bring them right to the edge, and we really don't want them to go over, because we want to know why the things are as bad as they are. And Yeah. All good.
Well, happy Martin Luther King Day, or honoring Martin Luther King Day. This is the 29th annual on his death is what we're kind of marking. And all over the United States, Martin Luther King Jr. has been honored and commemorated as the slain civil rights leader. And I posted on Women on the Edge on our Facebook earlier today, like 11 cool facts that people didn't know. And one of them I thought was kind of interesting. Did you know when he ended up getting married to Coretta Scott, they weren't allowed to go to their honeymoon hotel because they were African American? They spent their honeymoon night in a funeral home.
Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. And, you know, like, I'm just thinking, you know, he really had a rough life, and everything he's done, even today, as service speeches and marches were going on, they had interfaith worship services going on. And I found out that he is deemed a martyr at the Westminster Abbey as one of 11 guys.
Wow.
And we have to think about it. He was a pastor. He was a person who pushed it to the edge, but with peace. He asked why.
Yeah.
He actually kept asking why with human rights, that it should have been common sense. There was no real reason for all that had happened. Thank God that he came on down here and took this passion that went into a mission and created an effective change. That was interesting because last week on Friday we were talking about police brutality. And one of his top quotes that kind of changed where he stood was on police brutality. And right now it's trending. It says, we can never be satisfied as long as a Negro is a victim of unspeakable horrors of police brutality. Now, because he was human rights, we place as, we can never be satisfied as long as anyone is a victim of unspeakable horrors of police brutality. And I thought that was very fitting. If you go back to our Friday show, Marie and I were talking about quite a few things that we're doing with BRAM. We are in, Maria, you can explain where we're going on that in just a second. I also wanted to go and say that in Southern California, Kelly Thomas, finally, just this week, it's trending, that they finally said that there was excessive force. Finally.
Good.
And if anybody Googles Kelly Thomas, and if you go over to Women on the Edge, we have a photo of him after a vicious, brutal beating of somebody that had mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
He was a homeless man with, I believe, schizophrenia.
Yes. Yes.
And it was Fullerton Police.
Yeah, here's the, the officers got off, and they were deemed not guilty of murdering him. The problem is, you know, I'm not sure, and this is something that we need to check out, were they even tried for brutality? I think they didn't
No.
go. Yeah, and that's why they got off, because they didn't get charged with brutality. They got charged with murder. So, but it's an interesting thing.
It took them 8 hours to deliberate, but they did end up, you know, excessive force. And because of this, NBC had wrote an article, and also it has been trending. There's been quite a few lawsuits. The ECS, ACLU. Oh, goodness. I mean, I have to go and Google who it was. They right now deem on NBC News that we have 17,000 law enforcement agencies that get to set their own terms. And what when a citizen goes in and says, this is foul, it is extremely inconsistent throughout the United States. And most of them just say, at the end of the day, did it accomplish what the goal was? And if it does, most of the time, it's clear that that's really inconsistent, because if you beat somebody to death, it may have stopped whatever they had been doing, but there's a human being and they're committing brutality that is going free. And right now, even they're writing about Kelly Thomas. Go on.
We bring it up on Women on the Edge because it's trending online, and we're going to talk about those things that are trending online. But the great thing about what your new segment on Women on the Edge, Brame.biz, is all about really why it's gotten this bad, where it is trending, and that's what I love about this show, because we bring up the topic because it's trending online, and then we partner up with those people that start asking the questions why, in order to find the answers so things don't get, you know, start going over the edge. Because with Kelly Thompson, it went over the edge. These officers went over the edge, okay? They, for whatever reason, their brutality came out on this poor man. And why did it happen? We understand that it happened. There's no doubt that it happened. The man is dead. We have videotape. We can see it. Why did it happen? And we've got to start looking at those officers. And if we are who we say we are, we look at these officers as children of God. And why? Why in God's creation did they stop and think that that was okay? And why do they think that it's okay that they got away with it? And so those are the questions, too, that we need to really rise above. Yeah, there's brutality happening, as you're finding out. No one's being accountable to it. Why? Because they don't want to look at the why, Becky. That is the biggest problem.
Before we go into some of our whys, I wanted to go back to the fact that the FBI takes care of all of our national crime data, right? From anything from a break-in in San Francisco Bay, Los Angeles, armed robbery, Atlanta, arson. But we have nothing on law enforcement that were killed. There's no annual report on that. We do have an idea. People, the reporters will come up with stuff. Nor assaults done by officers to civilians. Not even somebody counting up the court cases. And in 1994, Congress required the Attorney General to acquire all this data, and it has yet to be processed. It hasn't even put out there.
Yep.
And our last time that we had it was in 2006. The only thing we do kind of know is we know officers that have done this, and I'd like to go back in. Why do we, what parallel, even though we don't have all the data here, we know about people, police officers that were part of these violent crimes, what do they have in common?
Mm-hmm. It's all, and again, it's where God's kind of, you know, grown me up through this, and Brame.biz is now not just about domestic violence awareness when it comes to law enforcement. It's about the real issue on why we have domestic violence in law enforcement, and it is because after living with law enforcement for 20 years, my life, I have a judge calling me right now on the phone. My life is so weird. Okay, after being married to law enforcement for 20 years of my life, you know, it's that these officers are suffering from trauma, post-traumatic stress. You know, I would see pictures, and it's amazing because this was before we had the internet, and now you can Google all these kind of gory pictures, but all these pictures that nobody in their rightful mind should ever have to look at. And these guys and girls out there that are working the on the field, they're seeing things that humans should never see. And so, and no one is checking them out, because these guys are supposed to be able to handle it. And the truth of the matter is, they're human, and they really can't handle it. They really can't.
Well, we even have Chief Rodney Monroe out of Charlotte, who was requested to respond to comments about excessive force in Charlotte. And he basically said and defended that due to Charlotte's recent reports on police brutality, they started going after the police trainee. And Chief Rodney Monroe defended it, even though he declared it only adequate. They need the tools.
Yeah. Absolutely, and they don't have any.
They don't have the tools, and when something is coming up, we had talked about last week, 85% of the police officers that they found that were part of domestic violence were at a very young age exposed to violence.
Yes.
Which we're guessing, we're reading between the lines, meaning that they grew up with a domestic violent home, and they're attracted to maybe saving people and getting away from it, but they're running into an industry that can kind of breed it. You're going out there looking at everybody as a possible potential felon, criminal, killer, murderer, assaulter, suspicious. Have to start wearing at you.
Yeah.
And we also talked in the summertime about this, about how it's a mission, and we do absolutely love our officers. We love the families that are going through this, but police brutality has to be stopped. This is getting to the point that we will look at it, and it's a story that could go back to Nazi Germany, and I've said this before, they break into your home, they take things, and they deem you unfit, and the story back in Nazi Germany would say that you're either Jewish, Czechoslovakian, or Russian. And now they just deem us criminals without forewarning on some of these people. And granted, we know that they're doing a lot. And the first person I'm going to call when there is a problem is an officer.
Again, it's a weird place to be, but I'm excited that we're starting this, and I thank you very much. And because we really do, we need to find out answers to why our officers are stressed, and our officers are stressed out, which makes the family stressed out, which makes people on the street stressed out, because then the cops are stressed out and they're trigger happy, and everybody, it's like this cycle that just doesn't end. It's just in so I'm excited that we're talking about it. And it's funny because I just asked Judge Ben Venya to join us, but he has laryngitis and he can't. And so Judge Ben, he's on our board of directors for Four International, and he helped write the Violence Against Women Act. So it's a pleasure to have him on our team.
Well, I do hope he gets better. Laryngitis usually isn't painful, so I'm hoping that he's all right and drinking some water and enjoying his evening, but we cannot wait to have him come back.
Yeah, because you know, he just got in a really bad car accident, and one of the ladies posted his pictures, and his head was pretty messed up, so we send him prayers and prayers and prayers, so...
Yes, lots from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and everything else that's in between. Oh, that's horrible. When I wasn't aware of the accident.
Yeah. She posted it on the forum, I think. I'm not quite sure, but, yeah, he was pretty messed up.
We'll look that up. So we're asking everybody to be sending out their prayers for him. We're going to get him back in here because his insight will be invaluable to the cause that we're going forward on. And with me involved, Becky here, I like looking at the trends. What are people worried about? People are wondering and Googling and creating videos on knowing your rights against police officers, U.S. Border Patrol, TSA. It's not just grassroots. It's not just a small percentage. There's 2 million of them. We have preachers that are getting arrested for speaking in public realms, which they've had the right to do. And if it wasn't for videotapes, they wouldn't have gotten off. Out of Chattanooga, a preacher was speaking at one of the state universities, and one of the people had come up actually to criticize her, saying, why are you telling us all we're sinning? And at the end, he goes and the police officers tried to get this one guy away. The police mazed him. When they had gone and done this, it was videotaped. And the police officers ended up making a report afterwards saying that there was disorderly conduct. The people that were assembling to listen to her could cause a riot. They had cordoned her off all by herself. And we're having preachers, regardless of their speech, have the right to speak. We have the ability to go through U.S. border patrols as American from state to state. And we have them stopping us, asking us questions, searching our car, and it's against the Constitution. Just because you're driving from state to state, they're there to see if you're a U.S. citizen. And unless they have a reason to believe you're not, there's no reason for you to stop. Congress has even told us, do not speak to them. However, if you take that advice, there's many YouTubes to show you can end up in jail.
Right.
And we're here to not just talk about these kind of stories, but we're here to go and say we need to hold them accountable. And when they're off, just like a friend, this is our strong arm. We can't be fearing the officers. I don't like the idea of calling 911 and wondering if I'm going to get beaten up.
Exactly.
If I'm going to get a ticket. If I go and return a gun, am I going to be thrown into jail? And we have all these kind of cases and more. Why?
Exactly.
6,000 of them last year. So anyway, can you tell a little bit more about what we're going to be doing for counseling? Not counseling, advocating, but not go a little bit into our next steps here at Ford to help people. And it is a paradigm shift. We're even partnering with another doctor, and I'm hoping that you can go and shed some light on some of the exciting things that we're going to be offering through Ford.
You want me to share? Well, what we're doing really is we're raising awareness and promoting education. And the education that we have on this particular topic of law enforcement, anything, is through Susan Murphy Milano. And if you Google her, Susan Murphy Milano, I want you to go ahead and share with the audience who she is. And can you Google her real quick? You. Becky. You there?
Sorry. I am so sorry. I am Googling it right now. I think
yeah.
I accidentally hit the mute button.
She is our education, and this is what, and I would like for you to share with the audience how you read it and how you interpret what it is that she is all about, because it's pretty cool. And this is also part of the Image Makeover program, so I'm putting you to work, too. I love this. It's good. So Susan Murphy Milano.
While you're going through it, I'm trying to pull up her one page. Apparently we have some Facebook things because I had been in Facebook and I'm on personal search, so I'm getting out of it.
Susan Murphy Milano. But anyway, we've got a couple minutes. We've got a great show coming up, and I want the listeners to She's Gone Country to know that Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan will actually be airing after She's Gone Country starting next week. And today was just a little snippet, so you know what it is that we are all about. And thank you so much, Becky. Christian, Philip, giving us this moment.
Tracy, I was going to finish. I'd say a little bit about Tracy, advocate and intimate partner.
Susan Murphy Milano,
She has won the Crime Survivors Award, sponsored by Crime Survivors, Inc., last year in April. Tracy Murphy is one of the handful of advocates carrying the torch for Susan. No.
Tracy Murphy is not. We're definitely just going to focus
on Susan Murphy Milano. Yes. Worked through the document of abuse.
Yeah, there you go. So, that's
out. Sorry, you shouldn't just let me get to read. I search all day.
It's all good. Anyway, you've got 5 minutes, so why don't you start closing it out and, again, share with the audience what Women on the Edge is all about, where we're going with it, and I'm really proud of everything that you're doing, and I'm loving watching what God is doing. So go ahead and share with the audience, and good luck with everything.
We are definitely going forward, and we are going to be a force, kind of like four, but four, so get it, to promote action. And we're going to be challenging people to get these answers to simple questions of why, especially when we have facts and we're fact-based. And we're going to be discussing police brutality, post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to be talking about why we're not fixing some of our strong-arm people that are out there that are supposed to be our peace officers. They need more tools. We're also going to be, in this series, discussing how we as Women on the Edge are a partner with FOUR. And with FOUR, we're going to be, Maria has a program, and it's holding people accountable. And we're going to be going through some of the things that Maria's company through FOUR allows people to heal, to be held accountable. People who walk the walk, and we're excited about starting to share some of that as we go through what the trends are. And we're going to be here live on Mondays at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and I guess that would be 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time.
7 o'clock, yeah.
We're going to be here on Friday. Okay, good. And we're going to be here live Friday mornings, and we're going to start holding it up. When it comes down to Martin Luther King, the fact is it was human rights. He may have had an individual face, but everything that he stood for and caused the change, they were rights that each and every one of us should have had. Nobody's better, nobody's worse. I'm definitely a democratic philosophy that, you know, the person who works the most can get paid the most. If somebody goes out there and does it, I think they should be well awarded. But when it comes down to our individual souls.
That's a Republican thinking. Republican thinking.
No, but it's a democratic nation. It's that's getting into the going back and forth. I am definitely pro-America. The masses can go ahead and move. I'm not a socialist.
Yeah.
I don't believe that everybody should be equal, same pay, and be forced to do something. If somebody ends up wanting to go out there and create new ideas, I'm all about that. But I am also that each human being has a basic right to live, to try to go forth in all that they can do with the capabilities that are surround them. And I feel very fortunate that I've been brought up in America, and I ended up meeting somebody like you, where we hold people accountable. We're able to go and search the internet freely, as much as I know right now.
You've got 30 seconds. Say goodbye.
30 seconds. See you guys. Yes. See you from Atlanta. Good night, Maria, and see you guys this Friday morning.
And we will.
As we start Series 2 on PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
Very good. And Becky, thank you so much for choosing Soul Sister Enterprise as your place to get elevated and empowered. Thank you so much. And so we will see you on Friday morning on Women on the Edge. See you next time.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. ToBeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sister Enterprise.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at WesternWishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
Her bags to try her hand, says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her roots. She's gone country, a new kind of suit. She's gone country.
Well, welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky, and this is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips. I just want to welcome you to the show tonight. We are here elevating and empowering everyday cowgirls and cowboys who love God and love the country way of life in hopes that we can educate and inspire those who don't. That way we can do our best to keep the heart of the American cowboy and its culture alive. So welcome to the show tonight. With me tonight, I just want to welcome my co-host, Becky Christensen. Becky, are you there tonight?
I am here, Becky. Hi.
Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. So glad that you're here with us. I know Donna Lynn, as we had stated last week, our other co-host, Donna Lynn Quintana, she is still on vacay. I think she might not be coming back. I'm not sure. She's on a temporary permanent vacation in Australia, but I know she's loving it. I know she's busy launching Western Wishes in that country over there. And I am sure if she can tune in tonight, she will be here with us. And we have a plethora of information coming in from her. So, Donna Lynn, if you're listening, we love you, we miss you, and we can't wait for you to come back. Tonight we have a special guest with us, and we were scheduled to have Ted News on, but Ted is in Denver, Colorado at the Cowboy Downhill. Now, I am a little naive to what this is, but it's been going on for quite some time. It's a pretty big event that coincides with the Denver Rodeo, and from my understanding this morning, he is being given an award of some sort at the award banquet tonight. So it just happens to be running about the same time as we do our show. So, Ted, congratulations to whatever it is you're winning back there. You'll have to fill us in when we have you on next. But tonight, bless her heart, we are so thankful for her, and we are so thankful that she had the time to join us because, like I said, we're here to elevate and empower everyday cowboys and cowgirls. And we are fortunate enough to have one of Vicky's hometown girls joining us tonight. She is a professional barrel racer. She's a NFR qualifier. She's a champion team roper. She's a horse trainer, and she does a little bit of everything. And I am excited to welcome to our show Jackie Woolman. Jackie, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to our show tonight. Thank you for tuning in and calling in. We appreciate that. And, you know, a lot of our listeners that we have, you know, Blog Talk is a worldwide platform. So we have listeners calling in and listening to our archives from all over the world, anywhere in the United States. So we may have some listeners that know who you are, and we may have some listeners that don't know who you are. So if you could share with our listeners right now a little bit about yourself and your background and who you are, that's where I think we need to start. So go ahead.
My name is Jackie Woolman. I was born in Oklahoma. My parents raised us around Chickasha, Oklahoma, and I went to college at Durant, and that's where I met my husband, T. We were married in 1981, and both of us rodeoed extensively through the 80s, and our son, Walker, was born in 1990. And we live here in Llano, Texas now and have for 30-some years with a 2-year stint in Houston, which was a learning experience that I'll cherish. So anyway, we're training horses and selling horses and buying horses and still rodeoing some and going to a lot of ropings. That's our lifestyle.
Well, Jackie, this is Vicki. And again, you just live down the road from me since I now call Llano home. So it's an honor to have you on, and thank you so much for stepping in when Ted had this conflict of interest. We will definitely have you with T back on the program in the future so we can really visit then. But, you know, Jackie, one thing, you know, you have such a long list of impressive titles, you know, NFR qualifier in barrels, Texas Circuit Champion Team Roping, USTRC Cruel Girl Year-End Champion in 2004, the Wildfire All-Girl Roping in 2009. I mean, it just goes on and on. So, Jackie, my question to you, you know, because you're roping, you're running barrels, tell us a little bit about a typical day for you and T now that you're training so many horses and taking in a lot of outside horses and buying and selling. Tell me a typical day in your life, please.
Early to rise, feed the horses, let them eat, have our breakfast, go back out, saddle. We have an awesome redemption horse walker that has saved us a lot of steps. We saddle horses, put horses on the walker, clean our pens, get ready to rope, and most of the day, usually in the mornings, if I've got barrel horses to work, I'll work them in the mornings, and then all afternoon we spend working with the young horses, tuning on our good horses, and basically spend all afternoon doing that, and then just do the reverse, feed, spend our time, you know, our family time after 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening, in the wintertime especially. Summertime, it's a little different.
Summertime, I'm sure you're not indoors until after dark.
Well, exactly. But we refuse to have lights at our arena because we aren't going to stay out there all night.
There you go. Well, Jackie, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, and, you know, I visited with you earlier today, and you told me that, you know, you started out maybe showing some horses. Is that correct?
Yes. When I was a kid, we always had horses. We didn't show or anything. We just had horses around, ponies. And we lived in Oklahoma and a year in California, but they were always a part of our lives. And when I was 11, 12, 13 years old, we had Appaloosa show horses, and we had a world champion roping horse. And I won some titles with the Appies, you know, in the speed events and even in the show horse events too. And then my parents ended up being secretary and president of the Oklahoma High School Rodeo Association. And when I was 10 and 11 years old, I spent 2 summers with Dale and Florence Urie at a horse camp they did. It was a full month in June. And I think every kid if they want to have anything to do with horses, I think every kid should have an opportunity to go and learn from some of the best in the business. Even if you're not a kid, you should, you know, if you want to do something bad enough, I think you should go and learn from the best that you can get to.
Well, and bear with me. I was just sitting listening. You said you spent a whole month or a whole summer learning underneath?
A whole month. Dale and Florence Urey would take in about 20 or 25 kids the month of June, and we got to bring our horse or horses with us, and we would spend the whole month of June learning and cleaning, grooming, and they had bunkhouses there, and it was just an awesome experience. I don't know how much it would cost nowadays, but it seemed, to me, it seems very reasonable. At $400 for a month, I don't know how you couldn't do it. And
wow.
On the weekends, they encouraged our parents to come, and we would all enter a rodeo, and everybody would haul together and go to the rodeos, and we were just kids. There were junior rodeos then, so sometimes we went there, sometimes we just went to an open rodeo. And it was just a really neat learning and I won my first saddle at their end of school rodeo that they had. So that was my very first saddle that I won in the rodeo events.
Now, when you competed, were you doing a little bit of everything, or is that when you first started barrels? Because I know, you know, like in high school rodeo, they have goat tying, they have breakaway, they have poles for pole bending. Did you do a little bit of everything, or?
You know what? I was never a very good pole bender. I was an okay breakaway roper. It's a terrible goat tire, but I did win a high school saddle tying goats, state champion tying goats, and so, yeah, I did a little bit of everything in the show events or the rodeo events. My brother rodeoed all the way through high school, and when he went to college, he decided he'd had enough. So he enlisted in the Air Force and retired a couple of years ago and as a full bird colonel. So him and his family live in Oklahoma now.
Wow, well, funny. Go ahead, Aunt Vicki.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to say, this is Vicki, and first of all, I can't imagine you not being good at anything you put your mind to do, Jackie. So I know that you probably excelled in everything that you tried to do, and I was just going to let our listeners know that the Urys are just world-renowned barrel horse trainers. So what Jackie's referring to, being able to spend a month with them, you know, when you're young and learning, it would be unbelievable education, and it would be well worth a master's degree in horsemanship, I'm sure, Jackie.
You're exactly right. It was the premier summer camp, back in my day.
Yeah, we always like to say back in our day, which is just yesterday, because that's what it seems like for the most part.
Exactly.
I can't remember that far back. Hold on. No.
Yeah, I know. I have those days too. Would you think it's fair to say, because I'm really big on like I said, educating the folks between this generation and the future generation, and just bridging that gap between the youth, because there is a lot of youth out there that I'm sure if they would have the chance to even be exposed to the Western way of life, which a lot of them just don't have that opportunity, again, because, and you'll hear me say it a lot, we're so industrialized and we're such a technologically advanced nation anymore, that this generation just doesn't have the knowledge of the agriculture and the farming and the ranching and the rodeoing and then all of the benefits that come along with it. I would like to think that when they're at that age, that tender age of the 13 to 15, that's a pretty impressionable age. And would it be fair to say that you really got locked into that passion at that age?
I think that's fair enough to decide that. I think the main thing that comes from being in the Western way of life or in farming or ranch raised or rodeo, mainly, like the ranch raised, is work ethic. And I think a lot of kids nowadays don't know how to work for something. They a lot of things, and I'm guilty of it too with my son. He, you know, he's had it, what do you say, a lot easier than I thought I had it growing up. But mm-hmm. but you learn a work ethic, and it sticks with you all the way through. And, you know, here, I hate to say it, but I'm in my 50s now, and I still know how to work hard. I know how to play, but I also know how to work hard, and I think it really matters. And, you know, you earn your way through this life. And I was blessed growing up with parents that, you know, taught me a work ethic and, you know, love of Jesus Christ, and brought me up in the church and, you know, knowing what the Bible told me. And I just think it's so many parents skip out on that today, and so many kids miss out on it. I know that kind of sounds cliche, but, I mean, I just really do think kids don't know what it is to, you know, to work hard for what they earn.
Well, you know, Jackie, and I think you're right on the money on that. And, you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And if you don't mind, Jackie, when we come back, you know, we're all moms here tonight. And I'd like to maybe talk a little bit more about that and just, you know, get some insight from you and you know, the life that you've led and the ability to be able to have your son garner those same ethics because you're still living that lifestyle. Let's chat about that a little bit when we get back.
We're going to take a
quick break, and we'll be right back.
ForRadio.com.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. ToBeAccountable.com. Practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Since 1997, Tresrio Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tresrio Silver, Llano, Texas.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org. Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky, and this is your host, Becky Christensen-Phillips, and I just want to say thank you for tuning in tonight. I am here with my co-host, Becky Christensen, and we are visiting with Jackie Woolman, and she is a Texas cowgirl from Llano, there where my Aunt Vicki lives. Ladies, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Vicki, are you there?
I am here, Becky. We've been visiting with Jackie about, about all things, you know, barrel racing. We've had a great visit. We're going to continue so. But I know right before Jackie and Becky closed out to our commercial break, Jackie, you were talking about
our children. And like Becky said, we're all mothers, and how important it is to instill a work ethic in our children and to have a deep faith in God so they have a direction in their life and they have a leader, someone that doesn't, you know, someone that is above all things. And so give us a little bit more insight, Jackie. I know you have a son, Walker. How old is Walker?
Walker's 23. He'll be 24 in May.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes, and he's he will graduate in May with a degree in athletic training, sports medicine, and I think he would like to maybe coach. I'm not sure. Coach. He likes working with young people, and I think coaching would be a passion of his.
And, you
This is Becky. Sorry. I'm just thinking out loud. What kind of sports does he play? What would he want to coach?
Football, baseball. Those two would probably be his first choices.
Gotcha.
He enjoys football immensely.
Well, Jackie, this is Vicki, and I was just going to say, you know, when you said that Walker he's so good with younger children, and, you know, a very great example of that is my grandson, Pecos Tatum. Pecos just loves Walker, and anytime that Pecos can come over to UNT's house and rope with y'all and ride, he is just always one happy camper. And I think that UNT, along the way, you've included a lot of children in your life that come to ride with you. Is that correct?
Yes. Small children, not quite as much. Pecos is probably the one that's been around us the most. Brett and Shandon's boys, Cade and Kreese, they're here quite a bit. But mainly probably the teenage years, those are the ones that are around us the most. And those are the ones that are really gung-ho to rope or run barrels or just, you know, life lessons. I mean, we've had so many, I wouldn't call them protégés, but, you know, younger ropers that are hitting the trail, and they'll come by here and hang out and you know, get to know us, and we get to know them, and we see them, you know, at the NFR. They're there now and doing what we did for so many years, and it's gratifying to know that you've been a part of, you know, molding so many lives.
Well, Jackie, this is Becky, and, you know, as I was thinking about, you know, what we were going to talk about tonight and looking at the extensive list of accomplishments that both you and your husband have, you know, what came to my mind is for those that are, aspiring to walk the path similar to what you guys have walked and have the successes that you guys have had, obviously, as we've learned, you started that at a young age by starting at 13 in high school rodeo. But say there's someone that, you know, just decided, you know, just got out of high school and never had the opportunity to ride a horse or spend the time that they want to on a horse, and they decide that's something that they want to do. They want to get a horse, they want to start riding, they want to start traveling and doing these paternities or, you know, rope-ins or barrel racing clinics or whatever the case may be, words of wisdom would you give them to, you know, direct them in their future to be able to get to the ranks that you guys were at when you were traveling down the road?
The main advice that I would give is to find a professional and learn to ride. That's the most important thing in any competitive horse-related venue. You have to be able to ride. It's so much easier. These little kids that start out little with a rope in their hands and riding a pony, I mean, they have such an advantage. But, you know, we have several friends that have started later in life, and a couple have gone about it the right way, a couple haven't. And it's so much easier to learn to rope or run barrels if you take the first step first and learn to ride the horse, get professional help. You know, there's clinicians all over the country that, you know, can do this. And it's just so important to take the baby steps first and progress on a level, you know, that's conducive to being safe and to being, you know, happy doing what you're doing. It's just so hard if you don't take the first step.
I hear you. Well, and that, you know, that just leads me to another question. Do you think that in your years of experience that it's harder today to make it to where you guys were when you were competitive, or do you think it's still as I guess you'd say, is it still a level playing field, or do you think things have changed?
It's a lot different than when we started, and even the ones before us. Say, because when T first started roping in the PRCA, he roped with one of the best there was at the time, Leo Camarillo, maybe the best. And every decade is different. It changes, and it's so nowadays. And this, hopefully nobody gets mad at me for this, but I think we're in an age of entitlement where everybody thinks they deserve something without maybe necessarily working for it. And not that we had to work for everything we got, because we had good sponsors, still have good sponsors. But the kids and the guys going down the road today have such an opportunity at bigger money. And it's awesome. That's what happens in any sport. You know, the more popular it gets, the more money there is put into it. And nowadays, these guys going down the road, you don't just have a little, you know, pickup and a little gooseneck trailer. You've got a living quarters and a big freight liner and you know, multitude of horses at your disposal. And it's a lot different that way. I mean, than it was even when T was, you know, first starting out in the PRCA and going, you know, making the national finals and winning world championships. It's a lot different.
Well, Jackie, this is Vicki, and I, you know, I know that, you know, we visited earlier about we're going to have T on this program here down the road somewhere, but for our listeners that aren't familiar with T Woolman, he's really he's an icon in the team roping world, and how many times? I believe he holds the record for the most qualifications for the NFR. Is that correct?
He does right now. Trevor Brazil might catch him because Trevor still has some years left in him, but I don't know. He has lots of qualifications to the NFR and the steer roping national finals. He's a 3-time world champion. He's won the NFR average team roping 5 times, multitude of rodeo championships and circuit championships. And he's awesome. He still is. Even now, he ropes so great. But I don't know. We're now we like to go to the World Series ropings, a few U.S. ropings. He was on his way to qualifying for the American the other day and had a horse wreck at Waco, still trying to get over it, and had another horse fall with him a few days later. But he's tough, and he's fine, you know, so we'll do it again. There's one more chance to qualify, so he'll either qualify there. Maybe they'll give out an exemption to him. I don't know. But I think he's worth an exemption.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think he is, too, and so many people do. And there is just, he will qualify, and he belongs there. He absolutely belongs there. You and T are, you know, a perfect example of a great rodeo couple that, you know, open your lives up to others and try to help others. Walker, you know, I know he's back and forth between San Angelo State and home. But what a great rodeo family you are, Jackie. And going back to you know, what you do every day, and that's you ride. You get up every morning, you live the life. You know, you walk the walk. And so I had a question, and I know this may be hard. You may want to think about it, but and you may just pop right in your head. But your favorite horse ever?
Probably, if I could have any horse back, it would be a horse named Ace that I had in high school. He was kind of a little renegade. We got him for $1,500 because he was running up the fence with the girl that owned him. And he was not beautiful, but he just had an air about him that he knew he was great. And that little horse could make mistakes and still outrun you. And I ended up 16th for the world on him in 1978 and was heartbroken about that. And he got hurt after that, so I didn't get to run him much. But a neighbor girl here, Kenneth Squires, now Kenneth Boltinghouse at the time, after he got well, she took him on and won quite a bit on him, and then we retired him. that if I could have any horse back, it would probably be him. He's not the most prudent, most beautiful, but he was a winner, and he never got outrun in the mud. He always won first in the mud.
There's always something special about that one. There's always one horse that you just never forget.
It took me a year. It took me a year to get him to where, you know, he was a winner with me, but he was a winner, and those are hard to find.
Well, now, Jackie, before we go to break, we have some questions coming through our chat room, and I'm being asked, what does running up the fence mean?
If you're running to the first barrel, I mean, if your horse decides to just take the bit and head to the fence or head down the arena, that's terminology, running up the fence. I didn't even realize I said that.
It's okay. Like I said, that's what our show is all about, is bridges the gap. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue talking with Jackie Woolman.
Sounds good.
ForRadio.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen-Phillips, and we are here tonight with Vicki Christensen and our special guest, that is Jackie Woolman, and she is also from Llano, Texas, where my co-host Vicki Christensen resides. So they happen to tool around the same communities, and if you've ever been to Llano, you guys would never want to come back. You know, I live up here in Spokane, Washington, and I got to go down to Llano a few years back. And, you know, my brother lives in Odessa, Texas, and I've been down there. And I remember looking out his back porch going, wow, Jesse, you can see this. New York from here, there's nothing but, what I say, rat homes and jackrabbits. But you drive a little bit further east into the heart of Texas, and you stumble into Llano in that country, and I mean to tell you, it is some of the most beautiful country I think I've ever seen. And I think since then I've always told Aunt Vicki I left my heart in Texas. So they can attest to the cute and quaint little community that they live in. But if you ever get a chance, I recommend anyone swing through that little town. Are you guys there?
It's a great little small town, yes. It's a great little small town. I love it.
Well, yeah. I do too. I know that, we are certainly happy that we chose to make Llano our home. And again, we've got some great neighbors. And again, Jackie and Pete just live down the road. So I'm just especially happy to have you tonight, Jackie. And again, for throwing your hat in the ring and stepping in at the last minute, what a blessing you are. Thank you so much.
It was probably the best way to do it, because if I had to prepare for it, I might have chickened out.
Oh, you're doing a great job. I mean, we have lots of listeners, and I know that they're enjoying everything you're visiting about tonight as much as Becky and I are. Another thing I wanted to kind of touch upon, you were talking about ACE, Jackie, earlier before we went to break. What is it? I mean, you said, you know, there really was no rhyme or reason to ACE, you know, because you'd look at him and think, well, this or that. But today, when you bring in a horse that, you know, that you're really working on, that you're going to put up for sale or that you're riding for someone, what is it you look for, the first thing you look for in that horse?
A good attitude. You can see it in their eyes. You can tell by riding them a few times. If they've got a willing attitude and a good heart, you can usually teach them just about anything, but it's the same. It equates to people. A good attitude and a willing heart, a willingness to do the right thing, is exactly what you look for in a horse too. Of course, the soundness issues and all that kind of stuff too. But just, you know, the mentality of a willing soul.
Well, now, Jackie, this is Becky, and I'm curious, you know, with the way that your life has went, and now that you are really focused on this new venture that you're, how long have you been horse training? And tell me a little bit how that came about. Was it just a natural path that you led yourself into once you came off of the rodeo circuits, or
you know
tell me a little bit about that.
We've always had a horse or two, whether it was for someone else or for ourselves, and we would always have, you know, something in training. But for the public, T and I, about, well, 4 years ago, December of 2009, we took a leap of faith and packed up everything and moved to Houston, Texas, Mont Belvieu to be exact. And I cried when I left here. There was 8 trailer loads of horses, cattle, furniture, pay, everything, and we moved to a place we'd never even dreamed of ever living. And I cried when I left here, headed down there, cried a lot of tears while I was down there, but golly, we met some really awesome people down there, and that God knew what he was doing when he sent us down there, because we probably never would have thought we could make it on our own up here without that experience in Mont Belvieu, Texas. And we ran a horse facility down there for a year, and then she decided that she didn't want a part of it anymore, so she turned it over to us, just paid rent, and we kind of took over. And that was for a year, and then she decided she wanted to sell it, which we couldn't buy it at the time. But those 2 years down there, like I said, I cried when I left here, and I cried when I left down there. And you know, God knows what he's doing. He knows where he's sending you. I have a hard time listening and hearing him tell me what I should and shouldn't be doing. Sometimes I have to take a step or two back because I don't listen very well. And usually he points me in the right direction if I'll just listen to him. And we definitely are supposed to be here in this part of the world right now. My mom was sick with Parkinson's and dementia for about 4 years, and she just passed away last Thursday. And I think, you know, we were supposed to be here close. And so, you know, my dad is still living, and he's he and I both, it's hard to understand why somebody is in the shape they're in for as long as she was. But I really do think that my dad and I needed to learn something. And both of us, I think, are learning compassion and tolerance. So my sweet mom went to be with Jesus on Thursday last week, and she's made a big impact in my life. Even as quiet and as unassuming as she was a teacher for 30-some years. And I think she's probably taught me more in her being sick and her dying than she probably ever taught even any of her kids that she was in school with. So I'm sorry for the tears. But,
oh no.
We'll celebrate her life on the 15th of February when all of her brothers and sisters can come down. I'm really thankful that I had the mom that I had.
Well, Jackie, this is Vicki, and I just can't tell you what an inspiration you are and how proud I know she must be of you. And I understand that walk you took, and I understand how hard it is, only because I lived that with my father as well. Thank you, Jackie, from the bottom of my heart for taking the time and, you know, having you know, the strength to visit tonight and to talk about your mom. Thank you so much.
You know what? It's easy because I know that she's in heaven, and I'm at peace with it. I'm good with it. I know she's happy now. That's the only thing that matters.
You know, Jackie, this is Becky, and it's so funny that you say that. First, I if I could hug you, I would, just because I know we shed a lot of tears on our show. We have no qualms about that. And Vicki and I know when we're talking who's crying and who's not and who needs to talk. So that's the great thing about our show, about us hosting a show together, is because we can pick up when the other one starts crying. But, you know, we love the Lord. And, you know, the one thing that you just touched upon is that, you know, you have peace because you know where she's at. And I know for so many people that don't have that walk with the Lord, they don't know that peace. And they don't have that comfort when a loved one goes home. At least I know that for me, for a lot of years, I didn't have that peace. And, you know, I got saved and my life changed. And I'll never forget, it was probably, oh, goodness, Grandpa hadn't passed yet. It was probably about 2005. It was after the last time. Last time I saw my grandfather was in New Mexico at Aunt Vicki's in 2005. And I knew when I left it was going to be the last time that I saw him. I just knew it. And see, here we go. but so anyway, it was one of those things where you just know. And by golly, I'm a lot like you. You said you hear God, but sometimes it takes you a little bit. You have to take a step back. But it's a reassurance that we have that a lot of people don't have. So, you know, it's something that we get to look forward to, that future and that hope. And I guess I would say, you know, what would you say to someone that doesn't know that? I mean, how would you leave with them? You know, there is a hope. You will get to see him again.
I don't know. I'm still thinking about that. I mean, you have to live your life to where people want to be like you and want to know what you know. And it's hard. I mean, people are always watching you and they're always looking for an example. But and I'm not, I make mistakes all the time. But I know that I have a merciful God who can forgive me of my sins. And I just know. The Bible says, you know, you're saved, you will go to heaven. And everybody's whole, nobody's sick, and it's an awesome place to be. And I can't even be upset that my mom, you know, that's where she's at. How could I be upset? I'm sad that I don't have her. I'm sad for my dad. But how could people not, I mean, be excited about, you know, being in a place like that for eternity?
Jackie, this is Vicki, and again, my heart goes out to people that don't have that reassurance, because I knew when my dad passed that I know I'll see him again, and it's such a comfort. And yes, like Becky said, the tears they roll easy and they come quickly, and that's okay, because tears are a reflection of what's in our hearts, I believe, and that's when we really know that we're still alive, because we have those tears, and what a blessing it is to be able to shed them, because that's the way that God made us. And touching on one more thing, Jackie, you're talking about your mom being an educator and all the things that you and your dad learned throughout her illness, especially towards the end of her illness. I remember so vividly sitting beside my dad's bed, and my dad had penned a book with Billy Wilcoxon called The CB Cowboys. And my dad only had an eighth grade education, but yet he was a very, very successful, wise man, a loving father, and a leader. And when he was laying there in bed, I picked his book up and I said to him, I said, Dad, how about I just read you your book out loud? I'll just sit here and we'll read the CB Cowboys together. And here I sat, Jackie, thinking I was doing this for him. when in reality God had me reading the book out loud, word by word, so when Dad did pass, I would realize what a full life he led. So, you know, there are so many hidden blessings in so much that we, at the time, we don't quite see, but when we pause to look back, our eyes are opened.
Oh, you're exactly right, Vicki. I don't know where to even begin there, but I totally agree with you.
Oh well, you know, I don't want you to feel like, you know, you have to talk about this for the whole show, because I know it's probably very still raw for you, but I sure appreciate, you know, because you just never know who's listening, and you never know who you might touch just by that simple, you know, hope that you give them. So I appreciate you taking the time to share with us about your mother.
Oh, you're welcome. And a lot of people, you know, nowadays Facebook is a really big thing and probably bigger than it should be, but I could not even imagine how many friends and family had words of comfort and prayers, and I'm just astounded that so many people care.
Yeah. Facebook's good for all of us folks that, my kids, they Twitter and they Snapchat and they do all these different things, and I have my Facebook. That's how I keep connected.
I know, that's me too. Facebook and my telephone.
There you go, Jackie. That's about as techie as I get.
Oh,
I'm not computer savvy.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, and Vicki, you're on the hook. I'm sharing this one. Sorry, I have to. She called me today. She says, Donna Lynn, email or text me. How do I read you her text? And she goes, how do I read them to you when I'm on the phone with you?
Okay, Vicki, that really is enough, but that really is a true story. Guilty as charged.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Sorry, I just thought that was funny. Sorry, Vicki. You know, I get to be the center of jokes a lot of times, so it's fun when I get to have someone else see it for a minute.
I know.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're rounding out the hour. We've got about 15 minutes left, so we'll take a quick commercial break and come back and finish up with Jackie Woolman.
ForRadio.com.
She's Gone Country with Vicki is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Grace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Grace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Vicki.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back to She's Gone Country with Vicki. This is your host, Vicki Christensen Phillips, and we are spending the hour tonight with our beautiful guest from Llano, Texas. She is a champion in her own right. She, you know, and I just want to dote on her for a minute and talk a little bit about her. She is an NFR qualifier in the barrel. She is a Texas Circuit Champion Team Rover. She's won the 2004 USTRCA Cool Girl Year End Champion Award, and in 2009 she took home the Wildfire All-Girl Roping Reserve Champion and the Reno Rodeo Invitational All-Girl Roping Reserve Champion, and that is Jackie Woolman. So, Jackie, thank you so much for spending the hour with us tonight. We really appreciate you being on.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
Not quite so bad, huh? We've kind of sped right through the hour.
No, I know. I'm amazed that it's gone by so quickly.
Jackie, this is Vicki, and I had another question for you, and actually maybe two questions, but you can probably answer them together. First of all, you know, you run barrels, you rope. What event is it? What is your heart? What's your passion? Is it running barrels or is it roping, or do you enjoy both of them equally?
You know what? I love running barrels, but it's a lot harder to have a really awesome barrel horse. I have a good one right now that I just need to haul. But it's really hard when, you know, you want to go to a jackpot and that little jackpot barrel race pays a couple hundred dollars and you go over here to a jackpot roping with 80 teams and you can win three or four or five times as much as at the jackpot barrel race. I mean, I need to be going to the rodeos if I'm going to haul that barrel horse. So this year I want to go to the CPRA rodeos with T and try to season him and get him finished. I mean, he is finished, but I want him to be a rodeo horse. And mm-hmm. Then I still want to go to the team ropings because the team ropings, you win something there, and oh my gosh, you win a huge check.
Well, and that's completely understandable. And plus the fact, too, is, you know, you have a good barrel horse. I'm certain that sometimes it's hard to justify the fact to enter a little jackpot with him when you risk, you know, you risk the chance of perhaps an injury, you know, when you can, you know, go rope and win, bigger money. You're going to go down the road on the CPRA rodeos this summer, right?
I'd like to. I'd like to, if that's what T's going to do. I just really don't want to go off by myself. If he's going to the rodeos, I'll go to the rodeos. We go to the World Series ropings together. Walker is going now and roping at some of them. So, I mean, we get to stay together as a family. And I know with Walker graduating soon, he's going to be doing his own thing. But I think roping will still be, you know, a passion for him. Hopefully, you know, he'll have a real job, unlike us who have never really had a real job. But, and then he can do this as a hobby and a sideline and, have a lot of fun and enjoy it.
Well, and Walker is a good roper, and that's no surprise. He comes by it naturally. Well, Jackie, talking about going down the road, do you have a favorite, a favorite memory of going down the road? There's so many funny things that happen, funny stories, running out of gas in the middle of nowhere, or it might be, something on the more serious side of a child that approaches you and wants to visit with you. What's your most favorite special memory, Jackie?
I should have thought about this a little more. Probably my favorite memory is when T and I both made the finals in 1982, and it was just really cool, taking a picture together. And there was three couples there that year, Leo and Sharon Camarillo and Denny and Lynn Flynn and T and myself. And, I mean, that was just really cool. We traveled all year, a lot of times separately, because they went to so many more rodeos than I did. But I didn't really think about that question. But that's my most favorite memory, I think, being there at the National Finals Rodeo together. And that whole year, getting there was really different because I had a rig, T had a rig, Leo had a rig, Sharon had a rig, and we would be together sometimes and we wouldn't be. And so it was kind of an odd year. We'd transmission or something had happened, and I remember Carol Gibson drove her and Lynn, her daughter-in-law, drove a rig for me because it quit. And I got in another rig and made it onto a rodeo with T's horses, and they drove a rig from Wyoming to Colorado or somewhere. And, you know, people are always doing that in rodeo family. If you need something, they just step right in and they help you out. And I still think it's that way. I think people are pretty much that way. It's kind of like a big family.
It really is, and it is. It's the rodeo family. I've always said, it's a small, small world,
And it gets even smaller when you rodeo because of all the people you meet along the way. And that alone is really special because I'm certain that UNT can travel to almost any state and, you know, can pick up a phone and call up a friend. And a true friend, friend's going to say, bring your horses, come on, come stay.
That's exactly right. And, you know, now with cell phones, I mean, it's a totally different world. Everybody's connected. In the old days, you still had to stop and use a payphone to enter the rodeos half the time. And, you know, now everybody stays connected with their cell phones, with their, you know, computers. I mean, it's just, it's crazy ridiculous how different it is as far as that aspect of it. You know, I always thought it was funny because back in the day, I mean, I usually could, T's probably not real fond of this, but I usually could track him down. You know, just with a regular phone. I mean, no GPS, no nothing. And that's probably not something I should have told on myself, but it was always kind of funny. I was kind of contraction
down. Jackie, I love it. That is so true. In fact, probably I look for the day when our kids or grandkids will, you know, they see a phone booth, they'll have to ask, what is that? Because they just became so obsolete in today's world with cell phones.
I know. I don't know how we used to do it, you know, not having, you know, access to a phone. I mean, that's, now it's like you don't know what you're going to do.
Well, this is Becky, and I have to tell you, she would not be happy with me sharing this on the air, but I have to say it because I giggled so loud, and I thought she was joking, but she was serious. My daughter, Sabrina, she will be 16 in less than a month. And last summer, I was working with my boss, and we were doing an estate sale. And, you know, estate sales, you can find all kinds of exciting stuff, like antique-wise. And I think you'd have a heyday at some of these ones up here. And we were cleaning out a house, and there was this one little room off the side of the main living area, and she had all kinds of old antique stuff. And she had sitting in the corner on this chair an old rotary phone. And I remember Sabrina goes over to it, and she goes, Mom, what's this? I said, what do you mean, what's this? She goes, well, what, how do you use it? She's got numbers on it like a phone.
that is funny.
I said, pick it up. I said, that's the receiver. She goes, and so she started doing the rotary. She goes, oh, my gosh, that takes way too long. Because I never would have lived with one of these.
I know. My first phone, I think every girl probably wanted one of these, was a princess phone. And I got to have it in my room. And that was, like, very exciting back then. That's crazy.
Now yeah, I think about one too.
Well, ladies, it is time. It is time to close out the hour. And I know we could keep talking, and I would love to. So we're going to have Becky, you and your husband back on in the future. But we have to wrap it up, and I just want to say thank you so very much for joining us tonight. And Becky, do you have anything else you want to say and close out before we end the hour?
Thank you, Becky. I just want to say, again, thank you, Jackie, for joining us. And if, you know, our listeners want to get a hold of you, if they have questions, you know, or if they, you know, want to bring a horse to you, can they just give you a call? Of course, I know that you're going to be answering that cell phone, not the rotary dial, right?
That's right. No, yes. And Facebook. We're on Facebook.
Perfect.
Yes.
They're on Facebook. Thank you so much, Jackie. And I believe we're going to close out the show with Crystal Lyons and a little cowgirl logic.
Thank you.
Everyone without exception faces fear. How we handle it is the million-dollar question. I learned something years ago when rodeoing. I was entered in the goat tying and suddenly became plagued with thoughts of wrecking. I kept fighting it, but fear began to grip me. It was suffocating. I started thinking that this was a warning from God, and I was contemplating turning out. I went off on the rodeo grounds to pray, and God began talking to me. He began telling me that the fear I was feeling was not mine, but it was a spirit of fear, a demon spirit. And when it comes into our presence, we feel it. The fear we feel is the presence of fear itself, a spirit of fear. He began to encourage me to not let it enter in and do the thing that I feared, and fear had to leave. I began quoting 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I said it over and over, right up to when it was time for me to ride into the arena and tie my goat. I still felt afraid. But as soon as I rode my horse into the arena, all fear left. I won the goat tying that day. Years later, I was riding bulls at Belfouche, South Dakota. It was a PRCA rodeo that had added girls bull riding. The girl's bull that was right before me fell out of the chute and rolled completely over her, busting her up bad. And she was the third person in that performance to get sent to the ICU that day. Fear was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I started quoting a verse out of Psalm 91, 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I won the bull riding that day, won the entire pot, because I was the only girl to qualify that weekend. When fear comes against you, face it, there's a blessing in it. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.